Boston Celtics in the 2022 NBA Finals, and I have two of the most brilliant basketball minds in the world on the show with me today. Former Warriors general manager and head coach Gary St. Jean and the voice of the Santa Cruz Warriors and sometimes the Golden State Warriors, Kevin Dana. They join me next. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online is where the game starts. Gary St. Jean joins me again. He has been on TV for decades. He's been part of the NBA for many more decades. And Kevin Dana, of course, joins me every Monday. It's such a pleasure having you both on the show. You can follow Kevin Dana on social media at Kevo408. Coach or Gary, I have a hard time not calling you Coach, sir, but I'll call you Gary.
Whatever.
Are you on social media? Is there anything I should be promoting there before we get started?
Thank you for thinking that I'm a tech giant. But I had a hard time finding the power button here to get to this podcast. So happy Memorial Day with two great guys.
Thank you, sir. That's very well put. Let's get started right off with it with the what we're here to talk about. It's the Warriors and the Celtics. These are two of the most storied franchises in the history of the NBA. The Celtics have the second most NBA Finals appearances in NBA history. The Warriors have the third most. Coach, I'll start with you, sir. What are your thoughts on this series? The floor is yours. What do you think is going to happen?
Wow. You know, I'm excited that Kevin knows that I'm from Massachusetts. So my wife, MJ, and I were with another couple last night. We were down at Aptos at Seascape and I'm watching the game. And of course I had to have a strawberry margarita. And, I gotta tell you, I'm so excited now about this series. I think it's going to be really, really fun to watch. The Warriors, you want a peak when you're getting toward the playoffs. And Kevin and I have been talking about this for the last few weeks, that when you look at what Wiggins and Looney have done, they've just elevated everybody. It's taken a lot of weight off of Steph. Klay finishes off Dallas with a great game. Draymond having a couple of great games. Poole, like a young guy, a little inconsistent, but still solid. Get Porter healthy. And all of a sudden, you're going to get Peyton back. You're going to get Andre Iguodala back. And you're feeling pretty good, you know, with Porter also. So flip the coin and look at Boston. I hope they're real tired. I know they're banged up. And they're going to need the rest. And I don't know about you guys, but I'll bet they packed their bags when they flew to Miami. And I bet they flew today into San Francisco. So they'll have a couple of days. Guys, they're going to play an 8-man rotation. It's a light bench, and they're getting great play, as we know, out of Tatum. He's been terrific. He's an emerging star. The key for me with this team is when they traded Schroeder and got him out of there. They put Smart on the ball where he should have been. Great defender, great energy guy, great initiator of penetration and find people. His biggest problem is he doesn't know a bad shot from a good shot. So we want him to shoot a lot. He is a smaller Draymond, and I'm giving him a compliment that way.
Yes.
Brown, we know, played at Cal, great athlete, has really done it. He's a scorer versus a shooter and a really quality player. So when you take Tatum, Smart, and Brown, you got three big-time perimeter defenders. And what I'm getting to is you've got a couple of teams that are really unique defensively. Al Horford had a couple of great games. He slacked off a little bit, but he is the senior executive on the club. I just love what he's done. You don't find a team bring a guy back twice. And then you look at Williams, young Williams. He's a wild card. This kid can really play the pick and roll and get the lob game. He's a good paint defender. And the other Williams, the forward from Tennessee, he's been a little up and down, but he can really defend. And then you've got Pritchard from Oregon off the bench. So I look at this team, and I say to myself, they have to play fabulous, in my mind, to beat the Warriors. Mm-hmm. The Warriors are going to play a style they're not used to. I think we're going to see, as Kevin and I have talked about, we will continue to see some box and one with Wiggins on Tatum. We will see some 3-2. We will see double teams on the pick and rolls. We will see a lot of switching action. Might note this, guys, and I'm kind of long here. Boston switches as much as anybody in the entire league. And you got to get used to that. Don't get married to the mismatch. Keep it moving and find the best opportunity. That's your early outlook.
Oh, that's a beautiful outlook, Coach. Thank you, sir. Kevin Dana, your thoughts?
Yeah, no, tough to follow up the Saint there with that great breakdown. But to Gary's point, that I was just reading this on ESPN about Celtics switching defense. They switch basically 4 out of every 9 ball screens, 44%, which is right up there with anyone. And for comparison, Dallas switches 32% of the time, the team that Golden State saw in the last round. Now, Dallas in game 5, this is all I didn't do any of this math, so I don't want to take credit for it. But Kevin Pelton pointed this out on ESPN. Game 5, Dallas switched 63% of ball screens. It didn't hamper Golden State. They got 36 assists. But it's one thing when it's Dallas trying to switch twice as much as they usually do rather than Boston when they just switch as much as they usually. So, like, they're going from a team that isn't used to switching as much to someone who is going to play this kind of defense pretty much through and through. So what I'm saying is it's going to be much more difficult for Golden State to score in this series than it was against Dallas, yeah. Or at least that's what it looks like from the outset. Because, yeah, Dallas did have a top 7 defensive rating-wise. Boston was number 1. And over the last 4 months of the season, that rating was 105.1. And for the season, it was 106.2 or something like that. And Golden State was 2. Another kind of interesting note, this is the first NBA Finals where the top 2 defensive rating teams have played each other since the 1996 NBA Finals between the Bulls and the Sonics. I would have thought it would have happened a lot more recent than that. But so buckets are going to be tougher to come by. And I think kind of the inclination for a lot of Warriors fans as I was reading Twitter last night as they were watching Game 7 Boston-Miami, and it didn't look pretty. Like, this wasn't, your 120 to 115 clutch shot after clutch shot kind of game, kind of in the modern NBA mold where guys are just hitting jumpers after jumpers, hitting threes and stuff like that. I thought a lot of Warriors Twitter was like, oh, the Warriors are going to just curb stomp the Celtics. And because, like, all right, well, Miami just looked like it was on its last leg for like the last 3 or 4 games of that series. And Boston still nearly lost the series. I don't think the transitive property can be used here. Like, despite Miami being all sorts of banged up, like, Jimmy Butler is an absolute warrior out there. Bam Adebayo is really good. And Jimmy Butler willed that team nearly to the NBA Finals. And also, I mean, it's not like the Celtics were playing completely healthy either. Like, yes, Smart's out there. Yeah, Robert Williams out there. But those guys are not 100%. They're not close to 100% with whether it was the knee for Williams or the ankle and foot issues for Marcus Smart. So give them some time to rest. They've been playing every other day since May 7th. So that's a long way to go without extended rest because they've had to play 2 7-game series. The Warriors haven't, so they've had a lot more rest. So now that they have 3 days off from competition, the Celtics are going to look crisper once the finals start. And I think it's a fallacy to think that the Warriors, this is just going to be like the easiest 5-game series for them. No, like, this is going to be a tough series.
I don't know who's saying it's going to be easy. That is crazy talk. I wholeheartedly agree. Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. The line for this game came out almost immediately after Game 7 between the Celtics and the Heat. The Warriors are favored in Game 1 by 3.5. The over-under is 211.5. Coach, I don't know if you dabble in the whole line business, but does anything stick out to you? Do you lean one side or the other?
I'm going to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Is it true that the home team usually gets 3 points?
I'll have to get back to you on that.
Somebody told me that, a friend of mine who wagers a little. Now, with that in mind, you said 3.5. So you're talking almost a pick 'em. The first game, Kevin and I talked about this. When you're the road team, that's the one to sneak up on the home team. You've had all this rest. You've got a little, you know, you're hanging around, maybe a little rusty, that kind of thing. You're not sharp. The other team comes in and smacks you. So you got to watch out. The over-under, Kevin makes a great point about their defense. That's good. That's a good number. 210 is, in my mind, that's high. It really is. I can see a lot of these games being 101 to 95, you know, that kind of thing. And that's not to say Steph isn't going to go crazy here, but I think it's good. You're making a great point, Si. I think this is going to be a tighter series than people think.
Kevin, your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, just to follow up what I was going to say, I like just the some Warriors fans on Twitter, I felt like thought this was like that. Oh, they said, oh, the Celtics can barely beat the Heat, and the Heat have like guys who are, you know, running down the court on one leg. Like, this is going to be like, I don't see it like that. I do think this could be kind of a Lawler's Law kind of series, first to 100 wins.
And
Lawler's Law, according to the Lawler's Law website, 93% of the time that a team gets to 100 first, they win the game. So it actually does, like, it is a pretty good indicator, even in this higher scoring era of the NBA. It's kind of more like the 80s. I remember that Nuggets Pistons game. It was like 173 to 168 or something like that, that went triple overtime or something. I think this will be played closer to the lower hundreds without giving any gambling advice here.
of course. Yeah, ethically speaking. And I'm leaning, at least for game one, I am leaning for the Warriors with that 3.5. I like that number. I think they're going to win. And that's a low enough spread for them to cover. I think they'll do it. But I'm not feeling strong about any of this, but that's where I'm leaning. And again, BetOnline, our longtime sponsor, find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs. The Warriors are in the NBA Finals. You can bet all over the place on it. BetOnline, it's where the game starts.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. Make sure to go check out the Locked On NBA Big Board. Host Raphael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft, mock draft, player rankings, and of course the big boards. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Gary St. Jean, he's old school. I respect it tremendously. You cannot follow him on social media, but you can follow Kevin Dan on social media at Kevo408. I respect that, sir. It's so toxic for the most part. I have a few questions for you gentlemen, just because I'm not graced with such brilliant minds on a daily basis. For starters, how do you see the defensive matchups in terms of the Warriors guarding the Celtics? One thing that sticks out to me is the Warriors have been implementing numerous variances of the zone, which has been met with wild success. And it was a little harder to implement against the Mavericks just because they're such a great shooting team. I don't see that same level of shooting from the Celtics. I could see the zone being more effective, especially with Draymond Green playing that free safety type role. Coach, I'll start with you, sir. Like, what are your thoughts on the Warriors D and the matchups that present themselves?
The way they've played through these playoffs is out of the norm. We haven't seen what we call mongrel defenses, like a box and one or a legit 3-2 zone. And I agree with you. I think they can be very effective against this team. Boston sometimes gets locked into going one-on-one. They stop moving the ball, and that's when they get in trouble. I think you're definitely going to see Wiggins on Tatum. I think that's an automatic. I think Clay will probably play Brown, and you're going to have some fun inside there. Where are you going to put Steph? That's going to be fun here. How's that all going to work out? Who's Draymond going to guard? So you've got some interesting matchups, and the in vogue thing right now is to go at the star player when he's on defense. So you saw Dallas try to go at Steph. You saw this last series them trying to go at Tatum, and you'll see that again. But I think the Warriors have a nice blend. Kevin and I have talked a lot about this. There's been a struggle to contain the dribble. And dribble penetration hurts because if you get in there to score or penetrate and pitch, draw and kick, that can be very effective offense. And Boston's pretty good at that. Mm-hmm. So that's why you disguise your defenses. And that's why you get into switching, because you switch to limit the amount of rotations involved in a one possession segment. Now, with Boston, I just think that these three guys on the perimeter are special. And if Williams is healthy, that's a big key. Horford's very smart. But if Williams is healthy, I think he gives them great rim protection. And I personally think they're better when they don't play two bigs, when they don't play Horford and Williams the third. I think when they play the younger Williams from Tennessee with either Horford or Williams, I think they're better because it allows them to switch more effectively. So you're going to see two teams that are trying to dictate with their defense. I'll share one concern. Steve brought it up and joked about it the other day. He said, I'm not going to talk to my team about turnovers. And it's a concern. It really is.
Because I brought that up on the last show,
if you're lucky enough to get a seat in the first two rows, you should wear a Warriors hard hat. Because you might get hit in the head. I mean, they throw the ball away five, six times that I look and I say, oh, my gosh. I mean, Steve's got a lot of hair. I'd be pulling mine out. And that's what's happened to me. But when you look at this team, if they take care of the ball and they defend, they will score and they will win.
Kevin, your thoughts?
Yeah, I want to illustrate a couple of points that Gary just made, a couple of really good points that he made. With respect to dribble penetration, with Santa Cruz this year, I probably shouldn't be making a G League analogy for an NBA Finals, but this is the knowledge that I can share. At one point of the season with Santa Cruz, they were 19% on non-paint touch threes. Basically, like, you don't get it into the paint, you kick it out. When they took paint touch threes, 38%. This was like, I forget what the sample was, was enough to make you say, whoa, okay, the importance of dribble penetration. Instead of just flipping the ball once or twice and then just jacking up a three. Like, even though the NBA and Santa Cruz especially, I mean, they try to get up 50 threes a game sometimes, it was still on the basis of getting into the teeth of the defense, forcing the defense to collapse in to pester the ball handler so you can kick it out to open shooters. So that was one thing that really stood out to me, and I think it definitely applies here. The second thing, with respect to the turnovers for Golden State this year, it's not even just the sheer number of turnovers. It's also the points off turnovers. So I was reading this stat from, I believe it was an ESPN preview. In Golden State's wins this year, they're giving up 14 points off turnovers per game. In losses, 20 plus, almost 21 points off turnovers per game. Like, that difference of 7, that's a ball game right there.
It is.
In a close NBA Finals game. So transition defense, and obviously transition defense will be less of a factor if you don't boot the ball, give live ball turnovers to the other team. So that would certainly be huge. And like Gary, I definitely think that Wiggins probably gets the Tatum assignment. Clay probably put on Jaylen Brown. And then when they do go man-to-man, and I do think, like their last series, like, you don't want to give one team a heavy dose of one defense. If you have multiple defenses to use, even if it works well, Gary and I were talking about this last week, even if one defense works well, you don't want to use it possession after possession after possession, because guys as good as Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, they're going to figure that out. And so you want to keep them on their toes defensively, thinking, well, what are they going to show? What are they going to show us this possession? Are you going to see Mike Brown put both fifths up for his own? I'm trying to put – there we go.
You got it.
Sometimes looking in the mirror, right is left and left is right. and so is he going to put up both fifths for the zone defense? Are they going to go man? Are you going to see that box in one? If it's a zone, is it 2-3? Is it 3-2? And so continuing to keep Boston on their toes, I think, is going to be key for Golden State.
Absolutely. And you two keep talking about when you folks talk, I should have promoted this sooner. Once a week, you host a show, Warriors Roundtable, on the Warriors flagship station, 95.7 The Game, correct? Promote that at least. What day and time, and how can people listen if it's recorded, like online?
Yes, so it's tough to say which day because, well, this week it's going to be Wednesday, but like during the season, it all just depends on when the Warriors play, right? So it's Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, whenever the Warriors don't play. The Warriors have a game on Thursday, and they're putting us on Wednesday, I assume, because it's closer to game one of the finals. So we're on Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. You can call us up, and we'll talk Warriors with you. We have a text line whenever I'm in the studio. I'm able to read the text line. I've been going to the studio for most of the playoffs now that the Santa Cruz season is done, and I have more time to drive up to the studio in San Francisco. So, yeah, take a listen to the show. It's always fun talking with the Saint.
Wow, you're actually driving up to and parking on Battery Street there. Look at you.
Yeah. Parking's only like 50 cents to a dollar, so it's not bad at all.
And I'm joined by former Warriors general manager, former head coach for numerous teams, including the Golden State Warriors, Gary St. Jean and Kevin Diana, the voice of the Santa Cruz Warriors. You know, Coach, you brought up something earlier, which I think is going to be a huge variable in terms of the Warriors' advantage, and that's depth. The Celtics have a relatively short bench, at least in this postseason. Like in game seven, they mostly went with a seven-man rotation. Their eighth man played 2 minutes total, and you might see nine. You might see Tice come in there, but it's likely going to be an eight-man rotation. Here's the reason why I think the Warriors have a huge advantage, and this is where I toss it to you two. I don't think the Celtics can score enough. Do you agree with that, or do you disagree with that? And could you elaborate on where you think the Celtics will get their offense from, or maybe not? What are your thoughts, Coach?
Yeah, they've been inconsistent, as you pointed, and crazy. What were they? 5-2 on the road or something? They've been crazy. They can blow out at home.
7-2 on the road.
Yeah, and then they go on the road and win it. To win a road playoff game, guys, holy moly, that's hard. So it's a team that's really up and down. I respect Epe Udo because he's gotten smart under control at the point guard position. I'm looking for consistency from Tatum. I think he's very, very streaky. And everyone wants to say he's one of the new big stars in the league. Consistency is a big thing there.
Agreed.
Brown, to me, that's an athlete. I watched him play at Cal. And, man, was he fast. So, can they score? Yeah, those two can get you 50. But your point is well taken. I think it's a struggle. Al Horford, the last couple games, he struggled to score. Williams is going to get you, what do you want to say, 10? Somewhere in that ballpark?
Maybe.
So they need the Pritchards and the Williams off the bench. Those guys have got to make threes. And Williams had one game in the last series where he had six, I think. And Pritchard's had a couple good games. But
yes,
that's a lot of weight on those guys. And I'm with you guys. I think the Warrior bench is better and more consistent. I think you can count on Poole and those guys. And I'm going to bring something up. And this is not a knock on the Boston staff. The Warrior staff is very experienced and respected. I think it's one of the top three in the business. And I think that is very positive when you get into the NBA Finals.
When you say top three, I'm guessing are the other two Pop and then Spoelstra? Spoelstra. Yeah, there you go. Kevin, your thoughts on...
You guys can debate me on that, but that's what I...
No, I wholeheartedly agree with you. No, that's why I said those three. Kevin, your thoughts on what Coach said and your own thoughts on whether or not the Celtics can score enough to beat the Warriors, because I think that's the ultimate edge that the Warriors have.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things. First, with respect to, you know, Gary's right on about consistency and Jason Tatum. I mean, like, for the first part of the season, Jason Tatum was not having a good year, like, efficiency-wise. Yeah. He was having a lot of, like, high 20 shot games and probably shooting under 40% in a ton of those games. He's definitely played better as the season has gone on. I mean, you can't argue with 26-10-6 in a game seven. I think he is a very, very good player.
They have
two like DIY players like who can do it themselves basically in him and Jaylen Brown. I'm not saying they're going to play this guy in the series. We talked to Cyrus. You brought up, you know, they don't necessarily have the shooting that the Mavericks do. Like, they have buried on that bench Nick Stauskas, who is an elite shooter. And I'm not saying he's going to play. I'm not advocating for minutes for Nick Stauskas. If they needed more shooting in a pinch, I mean, this guy, I know it's the G League, he had 100 points in over a two-game stretch. He had 57 in one game. He was 20 of 29, and he had 43 in another, and he's a former lottery pick. Now, I can't say I've seen enough Nick Stauskas to say he's playable from a defensive standpoint.
Right.
But, I mean, this guy is known as being, like, just a high-level shooter. And over the course of his NBA career, he is 30 – oh, excuse me. I was looking at the wrong line. But this guy is guy who hit like 100. I was going to say he was a 39% three-point shooter. He's a 39% field goal percentage, 35% from three. But this guy, like, he hit like 109 threes in a row. I mean, this was a workout in his backyard in Canada. But, like, that's kind of the precision he has. Not saying he's going to play. He's not going to play unless it's a 30-point game.
But so please.
Did you see how he dug into that G League stuff?
Yes.
This is what he sneaks in on me. He does that to me all the time. And I'm like, whoa, now I'll get you better. That guy had Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner at my house here in Danville.
Really?
The reason why? He was drafted in Sacramento.
Yeah.
And my son Greg was up there coaching. And Dad, can we bring him down, bring a couple guys down for dinner? I said, sure, come on down. And sat at the table. Wonderful young guy. He's been banged up a little bit, a little suspect defensively. Has had cups of coffee in different places. There's a place for a guy like him. There really is, because he can really shoot the basketball. Maybe he gets a little bit more physical, but Kevin's right on. He's a good guy.
That's why I bring Kevin on every week, Coach. He's a brilliant mind, and I respect.
He carries me.
I respect Kevin tremendously. I think it's just a matter of when, not if, he's going to get your true big break with an NBA team. It's worthy. I Coach, just to give it perspective, the first time I heard Kevin Dana on the radio, I didn't know who he was, and I'm such a critic when it comes to media content, maybe overboard at times, and I apologize for people I offend when I criticize this stuff, but I heard Kevin, and my immediate thought was, that's a pro. Like, that's someone, like, I didn't know who it was. I was expecting Tim Roy, and I'm like, who is this guy? And I'm like, wow, this is good. Wow, I'm impressed. And then we were getting to know each other, and we got to hang out at some point, Kevin. But Coach, and Kevin, for both of you, people keep asking me about Klay Thompson and about how he's been streaky. I don't think offensively, I'm not really worried about him. I know the numbers aren't quite as where they were normally, but they're not that far off either. But defense has been something that's been a slower climb back to his old form. I've noticed that he's having a hard time staying in front of quicker, smaller players, especially. But I don't see the Celtics really having anyone that could blow by Klay. Do you think that's going to be a strength of his in this series? What are your thoughts on Klay Thompson, Coach?
You know, don't be surprised if he guards Tatum some, because Brown is quicker. There's no doubt about it. Tatum's very methodical. He's a right-handed guy, so he turns left shoulder when he backs guys in. And I think he can handle him. You're right on. And this isn't a knock. Gosh darn it. I'm so happy for him. What he's done, and in my day, guys didn't come back from these injuries. And what he's done to have that huge game against Dallas, to see tears in his eyes of happiness. Holy moly, that's fabulous. So on the defensive end, you may see him on bigger guys. You know, they'll mess up with the rotations is how they guard guys. The grit and the intelligence is still there. But maybe that lateral mobility to handle the quickness, guys, is not quite there. I don't even know if it'll completely come back. But, Cyrus, you're right on.
Thank you, sir. Kevin, your thoughts, please.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like while he isn't the defensive force that he used to be pre-June 13th, 2019, I do feel that he is making strides in that regard. Like, I felt like I watched more possessions as playoff series got on where I'm like, oh, he stayed in front right there. He hung with his man right there. That was a good defensive possession from Klay Thompson. I felt like I said that more to myself as the postseason has gone on. And Gary brings up a great point. I do think that, like, at times, like, Klay on Jason Tatum would be would be beneficial for the Warriors just because of Jaylen Brown's explosiveness. So, it'll be interesting to see, but I do feel like he has made some strides. Kawakami was writing kind of as much in an article that I read earlier today. So, I mean, we'll see.
And keep in mind, guys, if Peyton can play,
yeah,
I think that's big.
Oh, huge.
He can guard anybody.
And same with Iguodala. Would you agree with that too? Like if Iguodala comes back?
My second point was he may not be 100%, but nobody is smarter than Professor Iguodala. Yeah. Especially on the defensive end. He knows guys' tendencies inside and out. I just love the way he was in the game.
Yep.
Talking to his teammates, talking to the coaches, all these series. He doesn't have his head down that he's banged up. He's in it. Yep. If he can get to play, guys, that's big. Just give me 5 or 10 minutes. That's all.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
He can be a real catalyst.
I'm 100% with you. The only time I didn't like him out there was when they put him on Jokic. I didn't like that matchup. But other than that, I mean, who is going to guard him, right? But that was other than that, you're right. I'm 100% with you. And Kevin, you brought up Nick Stauskas. The Warriors, I feel like, are a team that forces their opponent to pull every card out of the bag. So you might see Nick Stauskas at some point because they frustrate you. The Warriors are just that good. And I'm sorry if I sound like a homer saying that, but you know the record speaks for itself. Coach, do you mind if I ask you a couple questions about your background? Just because I've been a Warrior, I've been following this team since the mid-'80s, and I looked you up. No hard questions, I promise. It's just more stuff that's curiosity for curiosity's sake. You went from being a high school coach to an NBA assistant. I'm curious to know, how did you make that jump?
You know, as time goes by, I'm kind of more amazed with it. I was a high school coach. After going to Springfield College, where Naismith invented the game, I blew my knee out. I've had 8 surgeries and a knee replacement. Mm. So my career was cut short, but I knew that I wanted to coach. I dreamt about playing, but I wanted to coach. And so my senior year in college, I got my high school job where I went to high school. Next to Springfield is Chicopee, the home of Spalding, which used to be the NBA ball. And so our team did very well my first year. And we got taken down to this Boston to the State House and then taken to a Celtic game. And after that, we got pictures taken. This is, Kevin, you'll like this. Collins, Nelson, Sanders, Havlicek, JoJo White, Cheney. Did I say Paul Silas?
Not yet.
So that was the team. Well, those guys weren't making a fortune. So they had basketball camps back then. And here I am, I'm 21. And they say to me, hey, you want to come and work our camp? And I said, well, my town is really at best lower middle class. I don't think our kids can really afford to come. Well, if you want to come and work, come on. And I keep telling my own kids, it's about networking. And I developed a relationship with Nelly.
Yep.
And he retires, and Wayne Embry, a good friend, hires him to come out there with Larry Costello. And then Costello gets fired, and Nelly's the coach. The next year, I'm 27, 28, and we're at his camp, and he says, hey, Saint, you want to come to the NBA? And I'm like, and I'm a bachelor. And I'm like, huh? So he hired me as the head college scout. And I'm on the bench. I think I told Kevin this. I'm on the bench. Earl Strom's refereeing. It's an exhibition game. He said, Nelly, who's that young guy? He said, well, he's going to be scouting for us. Well, scouts can't sit on the bench. They have to be titled as a coach. The next day, after only being with the team for 3 weeks, they made me an assistant coach. I was there for 7 years, and we had great teams. There were 3 guys that killed us. Well, 4. Magic and Kareem in the Lakers, Dr. J in Philly, and Larry Bird in Boston. We won at least 50 games 7 years in a row. We had Sidney Moncrief, just passed away, Bob Lanier, Marcus Johnson, Junior Bridgman, Quinn Buckner, Brian Winters. We were really good. And it was a great baptism for me. I was blessed and then, you know, had gone to a lot of other teams, but that's how it all started. So I'm indebted to old Nelly. He's over there on the beach in Maui, and he's quite a guy.
Absolutely. Nelly's amazing. I always remember during those media days when I'd go, you know, interview players and he would be smoking that stogie and he was just he was always so nice to me. I was just a nobody kid, just, you know, just nervous asking for attributions and he was just the nicest guy. And your kid is currently in the game as a coach, correct?
You know what, guys? This is really, wow. I've been really had to sit down and think about this, what he's done. You know, he finishes at Wesleyan. Now, I don't know if you're back east. It's called the NESCAC. Amherst, Williams, Wesleyan. One of the assistants, the top assistant for Boston, I forget his name, but he played at Williams. Greg played against him. And he had gone to Phillips Exeter for a year after going to De La Salle. And he goes to to New Jersey. It was then New Jersey for a year for an internship. And then he went to Sacramento when Mully was up there with, I think Mike Malone was coaching there for a couple of years. Mully takes the St. John's job and him and Mitch Richmond are his assistants. Stays 4 years. Mully says, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. He said, I don't want to deal with the alumni. I don't want to deal with all the media. The heck with that. I said, hey, come on home. So he comes back home. And so then Greg hooks on with the Lakers with Frank Vogel. And he's there 2 years. He gets a ring. And Jason Kidd says to him, hey, if I get a job, he said, I want you to come with me. So he helped him with all his PowerPoints for his interviews because of COVID. They did it like we're doing here. And he's really established himself down there. And I'm just really, really proud of him. He's done a great job. And I think he's got a bright future. And I'll tell you this, guys, you're not going to outwork him. He really works. He loves the game. How many guys are doing something they love? And that's what it's all about. And it's been a great run. And Dallas overachieved in my book, guys. They were.
Agreed.
Kevin and I talked long about this. What a great job that the players and the staff, the coaching staff did.
So your son is currently a Mavericks assistant coach.
Yeah.
Incredible. Yeah. So were you a little torn there when that series was going on, or were you Mavericks throwing through?
No,
I wouldn't blame you.
Cyrus, my wife made this, MJ made it very clear to me. Blood's thicker than water.
Agreed.
So I'm out in the Warrior land here, guys, hey, see, what do you think? Oh, yeah, go Warriors, you know. Yeah, yeah. But inside I'm saying, come on, Dallas, let's go now. I was happy that they got to the fifth game, so I got to see him. It's just great. Just great.
It sounds great. Congratulations, sir. That's absolutely incredible. I've never heard anything but great things about you, Coach. It's such a pleasure to finally communicate with you and meet you, even if it's virtual.
Yeah.
Real quick here, as we're wrapping things up, predictions. I guess we're there. Like, Kevin, I'll start with you. What do you think is going to happen in this series? This is it. It's the NBA Finals. The Warriors are going for their fourth title in 8 years. The Celtics are looking for their first since 2008. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I'm going to say Warriors in seven, and I would say six if the Warriors were playing Chase Center. We're playing game six of Chase, but game six is in Boston. I know Boston has been much better on the road than they have been at home in the playoffs. That said, you know, I'd rather have home court advantage. I'd rather not have to play, you know, at the Garden. Like that home crowd is rabid. They are some of the best. They're some of the best fans in the NBA, and they have been some of the best fans in the NBA for decades. So that's why I think this goes seven. I do think, like, you know, in an aggregate seven-game series, I'd say it's like Golden State 4.5, Boston 2.5, but, you know, obviously it has to be whole numbers. So three Golden State.
I'm going six, and I don't know why you guys aren't up on what's going on back in Boston, but during the Red Sox games yesterday, which they've hit five home runs, they were chanting during the Red Sox game, let's go Celtics. I mean, they're fired up.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great, when they have a good team, it's a great crowd. And, you know, I'm with Kev. I think this is going to be tough. I really do. They proved they can win on the road, and that's a big, big thing. Kev, how many years ago did they change away from the 2-3 and then 1-1? It's now 2-2, 1-1-1 again, right?
Yeah, so I'm trying to think. So
it was like 20 years ago, something like
is that.
That
long?
I think it's a little more recent because
you think so?
Games 6 and 7 of the 2013 NBA Finals when Ray Allen hit like that corner three.
Oh, you're right.
Were both in Miami. I want to say 2014. The 2015 Finals, in which Golden State had home court advantage, they won game 6 in Cleveland. So it was 2-2, 1-1, 1-1 then.
Good point.
2014, I think, might have been 2-3-2 still. Yeah. I can't remember because did San Antonio win 3 straight in Miami? Because
they did.
I think you're right.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
So you're answering my thought. I like that they've gone back. The reason they did it was Boston, L.A. And in the old days, they're saying, holy moly, we've got to go back across the country 3 times. Well, where are we at now? And that's probably going to happen. There's going to be a long series. But, I think the Warriors, just their experience and Kevin's point earlier, their abilities to score, these are two quality defensive teams.
Yes.
And this is really, I think, going to be a great series.
Yeah, I really think the Celtics have not seen anything like this Warriors team yet in the postseason. I think it's going to be it's going to take a game for them just to adjust and realize, whoa, this is a whole different beast.
That's a great point.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Every time you say that, I'm just like, you have no idea how nice it feels. But I think if Iguodala, Gary Payne II, and I think Otto Porter Jr. is a fairly safe bet that he's going to play. I think if all three of those guys are back and making an impact, even like you said, Coach, even just 5 to 10 minutes from Iguodala.
Yeah.
And you're right, his presence on Draymond, especially, he is such a calming force. I've noticed that too. But I think if those three play, I could see this finishing 5. I really do. I think the Warriors can take the first 2 at home and then a split at the Garden. And I this is no disrespect to Boston either. I agree that this is a tough out. But the Warriors are just, you know, with their track record, there's a reason why they've reached this level of success. And coaches, I'm sure you know that killer instinct is not something you could really teach. It's just maybe it is. I don't know. You correct me if I'm wrong.
No.
I mean, it's just they have it. The Warriors just have it. And yeah, so that's where I stand. Thank you. Did I miss anything, guys? I mean, anything left to touch on? I think we covered all our bases, right? All right. And again, everyone can
great job.
Thank you. I really think, and everyone can follow and listen, both of you, Wednesday at 6 p.m. I'm pretty sure if you just go to 957 The Game's website, you can catch all the podcasts and listen to the previous roundtables. Coach, it's always a pleasure, sir. I hope we do this again soon.
Very
nice to meet you. And Kevin Dana, of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Kevo408, the voice of the Santa Cruz Warriors, sometimes the Golden State Warriors. And thank you so much, gentlemen. Thank you.
Thank you, Cyrus.